finishing this series this morning, and to me, this one is the most important one. We're looking directly at what Jesus says to us. Now, I heard a story a while back about a man who was carrying, it's a true story, he's carrying two big suitcases through the airport, and he's wearing a suit, I think, and he's trying to get to his plane, and he's running a little bit late, and he's carrying these things as fast as he can, and he's starting to sweat, and he's dressed nice, and now he's sweating, and he's got to sit beside somebody in the plane, and finally somebody walked up to him and said, "Sir, your suitcases have wheels," and he went, "Oh yeah." And he put them down, and he popped the little handles out, and he said he was able to get to his plane on time. But he had wasted so much energy because he wasn't doing things the most efficient way. He wasn't doing them the right way. And that's where we're at this morning. We've said this every Sunday. If I'm living with no margin in my life, if I'm living with no margin, if my load is too close to my limit and I'm being unhealthy in some area of my life, I'm either doing one of two things. I'm not doing what God told me to do, or I'm doing it in a way that God did not tell me to do it. I'm trying to do what God said, but I'm just doing it my way. Either one of those pushes us beyond our limit so that we cannot get where we're supposed to go in a healthy way. God wants you to live your life with some joy every day. He doesn't want you stressed out at the end of the day. Do you find yourself doing a lot of checkbook, the boss, yeah. We could go on down that list. I read the other day that a sigh is your brain hitting the reset button. Some of us, that's our only language. We go through our whole life. We're just resetting all day. Boop, boop, boop. We're just, because we're living with no margin in our lives. Now, I want us to look again directly at what Jesus said about this. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Now I can't think of a time in history when this is more important. We thought that electronic devices were going to give us more time. We were going to be more efficient. That's what all the experts said. You'll have so much extra time when you have a smartphone. And now we know that was the biggest lie in history. You have a smartphone. The guy that has no phone or has a flip phone, all you guys are my heroes. All right? If the ones of you that have flip phones have more time than the people with the smartphones. We understand our culture is running at a crazy pace. And the Bible is teaching us that if we will slow down, we will get there faster. I heard about two guys that one of them challenged the other to a woodcutting competition, an all-day woodcutting competition. And one of them worked all day long. He chopped wood as fast as he could all day, all day. He only took a short lunch break. And he looked over and the other guy was taking breaks and he had a longer lunch, and the guy that took the breaks ended up chopping more wood than the guy that was feverishly chopping all day. And after it was over, the loser said to the winner, "How did you do that? I saw you sitting down over there." He said, "What you didn't see was that every time I sat down, I was sharpening my axe. You didn't take time to sharpen your axe." Just because we're busy does not mean that we are accomplishing what we're supposed to accomplish. There's a time where we have to sit down, sharpen the axe. I believe it was Abraham Lincoln he was asked about chopping wood, and he said, "If I have 8 hours to chop down a tree, I'm going to spend the first six sharpening the axe." But we don't do that. We jump in. We run hard. We think moving faster and pushing more into our schedule will help us get there. So I want to talk to you this morning about how to keep your tank full. Because a lot of us are running on empty. You ever hop in the car and you're going somewhere and you look down and it says you have 2.5 miles to empty? You're like, my mom used to call it running on fumes. Faith and fumes. I said, Mom, it works a lot better on gasoline. I mean, it just does, right? But a lot of us are we're running on faith and fumes. There's just nothing in the tank. So how do we keep the tank full? Now, I want to take a few minutes this morning and just unpack this one scripture. And us really, I hope that we will just take it in and let it work in our lives. Here's the first thing. If I'm going to keep a full tank, I got to get fed up with how I've been living. I can't change anything until I just get fed up with where I'm at. Look at what he said. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Now, a lot of people in this room will never admit to being weary and having a heavy burden. Somebody says, how are you doing? And we give them the answer. I'm doing great. I'm awesome. We especially do this when things are not going well. If things are kind of off the track, we give fake answers. If I want to change, if I want to start living in a healthy way, if I want a full tank in my life, I got to first of all get fed up with where I'm at. I got to get dissatisfied. It's called holy discontent. I got to be unhappy with what's going on. Now listen, you still have joy. Joy and happiness, we talk about it all the time. Joy and happiness are two different things. Happiness comes from the stuff that is happening in our lives. I got a new car, so I'm happy. I can drive an old car and have joy. Joy comes from the Lord. It's a work of the Spirit in my life. So I've got to become dissatisfied. Nothing happens in my life till I get dissatisfied. I've got to decide that I don't want to live in a rut any longer. I've got to decide I'm not willing to live stressed out. I've got to decide that my life is overextended and it's not going the way I want it to go. I have to make that confession that this is not working the way I want it to go. Now watch this. What causes us to get dissatisfied? Well, what causes us to get dissatisfied is pain. When it starts to hurt. This is not an original statement, but we will make the necessary changes in our life when staying where we are hurts more than moving forward. We'll start to change some things in our life. We don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. When life starts to get hot, when things are not going well and you end up in the hospital because you're acting like you're 12 years old and you got plenty of energy. When God puts you flat on your back, some of us, God has to put us flat on our back so that we'll look up to Him. Otherwise, we're just going about our lives. The Bible says in Psalm 23, He makes me lie down in green pasture. Sometimes God will make you lie down. Sometimes God just goes, whoop, just takes your feet out from under you so that you'll slow down and pay attention to Him for a minute. Matthew 11:28 says, if you get tired from carrying heavy burdens, if I'm tired, are you tired this morning, or are you ready for something? Now listen, living on empty ends in one of two ways. If I'm living on empty, it ends up in one of two ways. It's either a breakdown or a breakthrough. I have to decide, do I want to just break down? Am I okay breaking down? Am I okay with running out of gas on the side of the highway? Or am I ready for a breakthrough? Am I ready for something to change in my life? So if you say, I'm ready, then the words of Jesus this morning just might be the most significant thing you will do this week, this month, this year, to do what He says to do, which leads us to number two. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. If my initial reaction to a problem is, let me figure it out. If my initial reaction says, let me go to my tool belt and see what I can do about it, then I'm probably living stressed out. Jesus said, come to me. Now, he really says three things to us. Come, take, and learn. And that's the next three steps. So he says, come to me. He wants you and me to come to Him, to bring all the good stuff in our life, to bring all the bad stuff in our life, to bring the frustration in our life, to bring the pain in our life, the shameful stuff, the exhausting stuff, everything. He says, I want you to come to me and I'll give you rest. Now watch what He did not say. He did not say, come to church. He did not say, come to religion. He did not say, come up with a new set of rules. He did not say, come up with some new rituals, come up with some new regulations. He said, the antidote for stress is to come to me, Jesus said. We decide we're going to follow a new program. What would make me feel better is if I follow these steps. And it's good. It's good to have a plan. We got to have a plan. But if it doesn't start with Jesus, then I'm saying I'm depending on the one person that has failed me all along, me. Here's what I'm going to do this time. No, you're not. Am I right? How many of you have been trying to lose the same 30 pounds for 14 years? Right there. I like to say I've lost 300 pounds. 20 pounds at a time. I lose it, then I gain it back, then I lose it again, I gain it back. I've done that 15 times. All right? I can't depend on me. I get motivated when I see an infomercial. The guy with the ripped up abs is telling me you can do it too for $19.95 a month. I get motivated, but I'm still relying on me. Jesus said, come to me. Don't come to yourself. Don't come to religion. Come to a relationship with Jesus and let God do some work in you. Jesus is saying, I'm the one who made you. I can fix you. I'm the creator. I got all the spare parts. I can take care of this. In the Bible, people came to Jesus for all kinds of reasons. They came for healing and advice and eternal life, and they came for food. Some of them came to complain. Some of them even came to Jesus to point fingers. And yet Jesus said, come to me. He's just happy if you come to Him. He doesn't care why you're coming to Him as long as you're coming to Him. It's a much deeper need than just physical rest that we need. There's something more than just physical rest. If all I needed was physical rest, I could take a couple days off work, stay in the bed, and I'd be good. That's not the way it works. The problem is not tired muscles. The problem is a tired mind. The problem is tired emotions and a tired spirit. It's a spiritual problem. It's a soul problem. That we need rest from hurry and worry and anxiety and fear. And Jesus is saying, come to me. The book of Isaiah sort of breaks this down for us in a powerful way. Isaiah chapter 40, he says this. He gives power to the weak. Amen to that one. I love that. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Watch this. Even youths will become weak and tired. Let us stop here. Even young people. Even the people that look the strongest will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. You know what he's saying? If you trust in your strength, your physical strength, your earthly strength, if you trust in that, you will fall in exhaustion. But look what he says. But those who trust in the Lord, come to Jesus, is what he's saying. Have you come to Jesus? Have you unloaded it on Him this morning? Have you given Him the room to work in your life? Is He the first one you call when trouble comes? Here's number three. I got to give up control. Now, come on. This is going to get ugly for a minute, all right? You have to love me to get to heaven, so here we go. I got to give up control. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Now, control. The reason for overload is we're trying to control everything. You ever see the guy on TV that can juggle the chainsaws? You're like, boy, if he messes up. Some of us are living that lifestyle right now. We're juggling chainsaws. It's loud, it's noisy, and it's dangerous. But we think, as long as nothing else goes wrong, as long as nobody else bothers me, I can keep the focus and I can do it. The reason we do too much is we're trying to control everything. We go around with it all an attitude that says it all depends on me, and I got to hold it all together. And then we wonder why everybody thinks we have an anger problem. We're trying to control stuff that we were never meant to control. The greater your need to control, the more stressed out you are right now. So if you're feeling stressed out, what's your level of stress right now? How much stuff, ask yourself this, how much stuff am I trying to control that I should not be trying to control? If I don't have authority over it, I can't control it. You do not have an authority over another human being. Nobody. You cannot control another human. Sooner or later, we realize most of the things that matter in life are beyond my control. Most of the stuff that's going on, the only thing, now this is important, the only thing that God asks me to control is me. I want us to get, if you don't get anything else this morning, get this one. The only thing that God asks me to control is me. Look at Galatians chapter 5. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Now, the Holy Spirit produces these things in my life. I can't control anything else. I can't control parents or kids or spouse or future or past. I can't control the economy. I can't control co-workers. I can't control the boss. I can't control the stock market. I can't control any of it. The only thing that I can control with God's help is me. That's all He's asking me to do, is take care of me. Now look at our scripture again, Matthew 11. He says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now watch this. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. He said, you need to take my yoke upon you. Now I want you to see what a yoke looks like. Look at this picture. You know what Jesus said? You look like an ox. I'm going to give you a yoke. A yoke is that the brace around their necks that holds them together. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, right? So what he is saying is, a yoke joins two animals together. He's not putting a bigger burden on you. He's saying, look, I want you to get yoked up with me, and we'll pull this burden together. If you try to do it by yourself, things are out of balance. You can't get all the stuff done that needs to be done. He's saying, look, I'm not putting more on you. The purpose is to share the load and lighten the load. It's not to put more on you. It's to take it off of you. It's to lighten the load you feel right now. The purpose of the yoke is so you're not pulling the cart by yourself. Jesus said, if you're feeling burdened, I want you to come to me, because my yoke is easy. The burden is light, because he's going to help you carry it. It's a symbol of partnership. When I try to do this by myself, every time you get detached from Jesus, every time you get disconnected from Jesus, every time you get stressed out, you're trying to pull the cart without the one that said, I'll help you. It's a partnership. I've got to do it with him. Now, the yoke is also a symbol of control. When I'm yoked up with Jesus, we move together in the same direction at the same pace. I want somebody to get this one. It's saying we got to go in the same direction, and we got to go at the same pace. Some of us are running so fast through life, Jesus is way back there, and we're saying, come on, catch up, as if we know the way. Jesus said, I am the way. It's like asking for directions as you're running ahead of the person that's giving you the directions. He said, look, there's a secret here. You're going to be yoked to something in your life. Something is in the other side of the yoke. If it's not Jesus, it's going to be something that's dragging you down. Bob Dylan said it. You're going to have to serve somebody. This is Bob Dylan's words. If you don't know who Bob Dylan is, you can get saved later, all right? But he said, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord. You know what he's saying? You're going to have to be yoked up to somebody. And here's the problem. The fact is, most of us just want to go at our own pace. And Jesus is saying, I got you. If you'll slow down and walk with me, we're going to accomplish so much more. Here's number four. Learn from Jesus. Learn from Jesus. He said, let me teach you. Let me teach you. Now, everybody's learned some stuff, but it's probably time this morning to unlearn some stuff. All right? You didn't get overloaded overnight, and you're not going to get unoverloaded overnight. If you're overloaded, it took some time to get there, all right? You had to convince everybody else in your life to back off and let you carry the load, even if they were willing to. And so now Jesus said, look, I want to teach you because I'm humble and gentle at heart. Now, listen, it would have been so much more American if Jesus would have just said, I am filled with endurance and stamina. Keep up. Let me show you how to work harder and accomplish more. I think I would have even liked that better. That sounds like something that we could all get behind. That's not what he said. He said, look, I'm gentle. I'm humble. Now, so you got to ask yourself, why did Jesus say I'm gentle and humble? Why didn't he say I'm strong and tough? I'm fast. I'm lean. I'm mean. Why didn't he say any of that? He said, I'm humble and I'm gentle. Because humbleness and gentleness are the antidote for the stuff that's stressing us out. Humbleness and gentleness is the antidote to aggression and arrogance. We are aggressive. We don't want to wait. We don't want to pause. We don't want to consider anything. We just want to jump in. We want to get overcommitted. We're aggressive. We're going to do it now. Go, 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 go. We got this football coach in the back of our head saying, you can do it. You can do it. That's aggression. And gentleness is the opposite. And then we're arrogant. We want to control stuff. We want to carry it at our own pace. We let our ego get the best of us. Look at me. I'm something. And Jesus said, look, you need to be gentle. He was really saying, if you want to get rid of all that lifestyle, you're going to have to be humble and you're going to have to be gentle. You're going to have to let go of what's going on in your life right now. How do we do that? John chapter 5 says this. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He's referring to himself. Jesus said, I don't do anything by myself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. He said, look, my Father in heaven, I'm just doing what he does. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he's doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. He said, whatever the Father does is what the Son does. Some of us are trying to do more than Jesus asked us to do. Jesus even said, I'm just doing what the Father said. I'm just being obedient. God never once asks you to be efficient or effective. God asks you to be obedient. He'll take care of the efficiency and effectiveness part. If we will just slow down and let him work in our lives, he's gentle, he's humble, he's not aggressive, he's not arrogant. He's going to take us along this journey. He said, if you are tired, if you are tired, I want to help you. I want to help you. If I'm trying to live with that aggressive, arrogant spirit, then it's all depending on me. But if I say, Lord, I'm ready to back up just a little bit and trust you in a brand new way and let you work in my life. We give him some room to work and things start to change. I cannot change anybody in my life. I want you to get that. I cannot change anybody in my life. I remember as a young pastor, I remember thinking I was responsible to help everybody live their life for Jesus. And then one day I realized I was an absolute failure at it. Because it was not my calling. It was not in my job description. My job description and your job description is obedience. Am I being obedient in what God is asking me to do? And if I am, then he will bless that. I want somebody this morning to take a step back. And the Bible teaches us to take an evaluation of ourselves, to honestly evaluate where we are. It's actually talking about gifts, the things, the talents that God gives you. He said, step back and take an evaluation of your talents. Some of us are trying to do stuff that we're terrible at. But for whatever reason, we've taken that on and we think it's about us. And God said, I want to bless what you're doing, but you got to do this my way. You got to do this my way. I'm going to close with this. Athletes will often talk about being in the zone. You've heard it. We all know what it looks like. They're talking about playing at a whole other level. Every pass that comes to him, he catches. Every time he dribbles the ball down, it goes in the hoop. It's just like things are just working. I've heard them describe it as the game just slowed down, and I was the only one going at full speed. Michael Jordan described it one night when he had scored a bunch of points. He said, it was like the rim was this big, and I couldn't miss it. It's just being in the zone. They were the sweet spot. God has a zone for his disciples. And some of us are outrunning it. God has something for you to do. See, God wants you to love him and he wants you to love people. That's the two commandments the Bible really teaches us to focus on the most. Love God and love the people around us. But some of us are outrunning all of that because we're trying to accomplish more earthly things than God wants us to. God wants us in the flow. He wants us in the zone. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have problems. It simply means that the resistance will not win. It just means that God's going to be with us and he's going to walk with us through that. What are you yoked up to this morning? You're yoked to something. The Bible teaches us we're going to have one master or the other. What is it this morning? What's going on? Where is your life just a little too close to the cliff? Just not enough margin. Just a little too dangerous in this area. I'm just trying to do too much with what God has trusted me with right now. I'm running on empty. I could be out of gas at any minute. Where's your focus? What's happening? What's happening right now that you need to pull back and go, okay, let me get regrouped here. Let me come to Jesus. Let me learn some stuff from Jesus. Let me grab some humbleness and gentleness instead of this attitude of it all depends on me. What area of your life are you the closest to the edge? Some of us are running on the rumble strips on the side of the road. Our lives are just making so much noise, and everybody around us is like, dude, just get back to the middle. And we're just staying over there, just over the line where it's not safe. What area is that of my life, your life, that we need to surrender to God and let him work? I want you to stand with me. I don't want to blow through this moment and just leave it behind. I with all my heart, I believe the Lord is doing something right now in somebody's heart. This could be a moment you look back on 20 years from now in your family. If they recognize that this was the moment, they're going to go, thank you. Thank you for stopping. Thank you for taking a breath. Thank you for getting off the rumble strips. Thank you for filling up the tank. Thank you. Because the family was not going where it needed to go when you were living like that. This could be that moment this morning. What's going on? What's going on? Come to Jesus this morning. You have heavy burdens. Come to Jesus this morning. Are you tired? Are you fed up with it? I don't want to overdo it, but are you fed up with it? Is it time to make some change? Is it time to have a conversation with somebody that you love? I believe God's ready. I know He is. Scripture just told us that Jesus is just waiting. Just come to me. Everybody who's tired and weary, come on. It does not make you weak. It makes you smart to admit that you're tired. Can I talk to the fellas in the room for just a minute? Make sure you're living with plenty of margin in your private life. Plenty of accountability in your private life. Let's make sure, couples, that we're not trying to control each other. All you type A driver personalities, let's make sure that we are not putting accomplishment ahead of walking and being yoked with Jesus. Let's make sure we're doing this the right way, because He wants us in this for the long haul. This is a marathon, not a sprint. If your life was going to be over in a week, you can run at a mad pace and everybody's going to go, do it, go. But we kind of hope you're here for 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 more years. You got a long time. This is a marathon. Got to slow down the pace and keep the tank full. All right. If you don't know Jesus this morning, I want you to know Him. That's the most important thing we're going to say. He's just waiting. All you got to do is admit that you've sinned and believe on Him and confess Him as Lord of your life and give Him some room to work and start that journey, that relationship with the Lord. I want you to pray that prayer this morning in your own words. Maybe you're ready to fill up the tank. I'm ready to evaluate. I'm ready to do something different. I'm ready to try this a different way. I'm kind of fed up. And we're going to pray for that too. Can we do it right now? God, we thank You this morning. We thank You this morning. Some of us have been chopping wood so hard and so fast for so long that the axe is dull and we don't even recognize. Help us today, Lord, to just slow down a little bit, to get filled up so that we can take the next section of our life at a manageable pace, manageable spending, that we take care of our bodies in a manageable way, that we take care of our spirit in a manageable way, that we get yoked to You. And Lord, You just help us. Lord, we are going to rely on You for the effectiveness part of it and the accomplishment part of it. Lord, we're going to focus on the obedience part of it. We're just going to go where You go and at the pace You take us there and be okay with that. And we'll see the benefits in due time. God, we thank You right now for all You're doing. All You're about to do in our lives, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give Him some praise. Amen. I want to ask you to do something this week. Take some time to evaluate. Now, here's what we do. You gotta build time in to your schedule to make sure that you're refilling the spiritual tank. So here's what I'm asking you to do. Before you walk out of the chair you're sitting in right now, decide, you know what, don't promise God, all right? You don't have to promise Him anything. He already knows if you're going to do it or not. Just make up your mind right now that, okay, when I wake up at 6 o'clock every morning, or when I go to bed at 9 o'clock, or whatever, or during my break or during my lunch hour, I'm going to take some time. I'm going to evaluate where I'm at. I'm going to get some of God's word in me. I'm going to talk to God for a minute. And I'm going to give God some room to work in my life. Because most of us, the clock goes off, we hit the snooze 9 minutes later, we jump up, and we go fast. And we're running all day long. And then we get home, and there's 6,000 things to do at home before we go to bed, and we hit the pillow, and we're like, I'm going to read my Bible. Boom, I'm asleep. I'll be up again at 6 in the morning because we're trying to live a pace that we were not designed to live. So when am I going to fit God into that? Where am I going to, and instead of trying to wedge my relationship with God into my life, why not decide how and when to refill my tank and build my life around that? So that God is the center of the wheel and not some rock stuck on the outside. I can just say, God, I want to focus on you. I want to refill. I want to refill. I want to refill. I want to evaluate a little bit every day. All right. I told you this was going to be heavy. So you got a lot of homework if you want it this week. This is not extra credit. This is just to make it. All right. So I want us to pray this week that God would help us to unload the stuff we need to unload and go at a pace that he's called us to go. Father, thank you for what you're doing right now. And Lord, we just ask that you pour your spirit on us this week, that we would yoke ourselves to you, go in your direction at your pace. And we thank you right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Love you, everybody.